Welcome to UC Science Radio, where we conduct interviews with a range of scientists to learn about the big issues facing our world and what science is doing to help. I'm Molly McGidd, a master's student in the School of Biological Sciences. Today, I'm talking with Dr. Rudy Marquez, the head of UC's School of Physical and Chemical Sciences. His research interests combine organic chemistry, medicine, and molecular biology. He's also an entrepreneur whose goal is to come up with solutions that leave the lab and make a difference in people's lives. Kia ora, Rudy. Welcome to UC Science Radio. I'm interested in your role at UC, what you do, and what your research is about. So could you talk a bit about that?
Kia ora, Molly, and thank you very much for the invite. Well, I'm the head of physics and chemistry and astronomy here at UC. I'm originally a chemist by training. And so my research is actually the interface between biology and chemistry. So we do a lot of basically drug development. We do a lot of development of new diagnostic tools. And a lot of it is just new therapeutics, really, trying to deliver the next generation of healthcare into the world.
So I've seen that you work a bit with a way to link your science into a business.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that we do is not only obviously science, but also part of it we want to do is science that benefits, you know, and we can apply to a number of things. So, for example, DRT, it is a company that began from our research on tissue regeneration. So the way we started working on this, we developed a molecule that is able to increase wound healing very quickly on diabetic models. So what it does is increases the speed of closure. This is very important for people with diabetes, for example. So if you take a look at in New Zealand, we have a big problem with diabetes, particularly with the Maori and Pacifica communities, especially when they get an ulcer in their feet. If you get a foot ulcer, the risk of amputation is very high. And at the moment, we have no ways of treating it. And so what we did is we developed this molecule that can close up wounds very quickly. And so as part of that work, we spun off a company called TRT, Tissue Repair Technologies. At the moment, actually, we're going to be doing a horse trial in the next month or so. So actually, horses are a lot like diabetic patients, that if they get an injury at the bottom of their leg, it doesn't heal very well. And so we're going to do a trial. And if it looks good, the next step will be trying to think about how we're going to start putting that on people. And again, try to find a way to basically come up with solutions that are affordable and efficient to deal with human and animal health.
How exactly does it work? Is it like a cream, or how does it get on the wound to help seal it up?
Well, that's a really, really good question. Obviously, the stuff with wound healing, you have to be very careful with it, because if you get too much angiogenesis, if you get too much tissue generation, you'll end up with a solid tumor, right? There's a balance between having too much and not enough. If you have not enough, then you will never heal. And so the way we did it is we developed this compound that you apply as a gel. So we don't need to put cells on it. You have enough cells in your body. So what we're trying to do is put it onto the wound and actually get it to basically kickstart the wound healing process. Because when people have diabetes, this process stops. So we just kickstart it, get the wound to close, and then stops.
Is it a protein that does this, or is it?
No, that is another really good question. So no, it's not a protein. It's a small compound. We like proteins. The only problem with proteins is that it's like milk. If you leave milk sitting on the bench, it will denature and it'll go off. So proteins tend to be a bit touchy like that. You need to keep them cold, you need to look after them. So now we develop a small molecule that you can leave it out on the table for months. It's fine, and it's stable and it's non-toxic. But the nice thing about it is also we can produce it very cheaply, because sometimes you can come up with a solution, but if the solution is so expensive that no one can afford it, or, you know, it is so expensive that, you know, that only wealthy people can afford it, I think, you know, that is not a good solution. It is a big learning experience, because you need to learn to talk to venture capital people, talk to regulatory people, stuff like that. And so that is actually quite an interesting bit. And we just started another company here in New Zealand that has to do with transfection, actually, for dealing with parasites, particularly for veterinary medicine, actually had to deal with worms and the like. And so we do work with a number of companies to try to help us get there and try to raise the funding and try to deal with regulation. And because running a business on top of being an academic or being the head of school, it does take a lot of time. So it turns into very long days. But at the same time, it also makes it really exciting. Every step, something else gets you closer to the market. And it's not necessarily about trying to commercialize and trying to make money. It's actually come up with something that leaves the lab and it does get into people's lives.
So what is the other idea that you are working on in terms of parasites?
One of them we're working is how to deal with antibiotic resistance, particularly applied to sheep and cattle. When sheep and cattle get worms, we have to, obviously we treat them with antibiotics to try to kill those worms. But the problem with that is that you end up with antibiotic resistance developing in the worms. And so what happens, for example, ivermectin at the moment, which is one of the drugs that we used to use, so you get a lot of resistance now. Sometimes you cannot be applied on its own because the worms now are resistant to it. So we develop a way that we can revert that antibiotic resistance. And so what we're hoping to use is that actually we can get the antibiotics that we had before, we can actually reuse them again because we can revert the resistance and make the worms susceptible to them.
So not making more and more new antibiotics, but actually targeting the worms and taking away their resistance. How does that work?
We designed something like a Trojan horse. So I remember, you know, the story of Troy, right? The Greeks developed the horse, they had the horse in there, they brought that, so the Trojans brought it in thinking that there was nothing wrong with it. And then at night, then the Greeks came out and destroyed Troy. The way we do it is we design this little Trojan horse that the worm doesn't think it is dangerous to it. So it takes it in, and once inside, it releases the drug again. So basically, we bypass the resistance mechanisms that the worms have developed for dealing with it. And so it means that we can actually use antibiotics in lower doses. So we reduce the toxicity, reduce the number and the amount of antibiotic that we need to use, and at the same time, increase the efficiency.
What was your path to this research?
I think we started with this. This started with a failed project, and we were working on a completely different project. It was an anti-cancer project we were working with, and it failed. But we started looking sideways. So the nice thing about being a scientist is that it allows you to look around. You don't, you know, have tunnel vision. At least we don't have tunnel vision in our group. We like the idea of actually always keeping your options open, always looking at different sides. And so that is, from our perspective, very important. So we started with this, and then it was a project that failed, and then it was a fortuitous observation that we noticed that we actually were dealing with some worms in the lab that we saw this was working. And then that's where we got started.
That's always nice to hear in science. Like, whenever I'm making a mistake, I'm like, well, it's not a mistake. It's data for a different project.
You're absolutely right. Something that I always tell my students, they need to watch that movie, Meet the Robinsons. It's like, it's great, you failed. And it is great. It's absolutely fine. And all your failures eventually will turn into massive success because you learn a lot more from your failures. If everything works once, right the first time, you learn a little bit. But if you fail and you understand why you failed, that allows you to troubleshoot all the issues and turns into a much bigger success later on. When my students fail at something in my lab, it's absolutely fine. Let's find out as to why we fail and figure out what went wrong. And that so far has been very productive.
What's next for you? What's the next thing that you're excited about?
Perhaps in terms of New Zealand, something that we're doing at the moment that is actually quite interesting. We are doing a possum trial. And we should get the final results of that experiment in the next month or so. So actually we have a way to sterilize possums without killing them. It's a humane way and it's environmentally friendly and selective.
Are you like giving them birth control or how are you sterilizing them?
Pretty much. We're actually pretty much putting them on the pill, but it's a single application pill. So they don't have to take it more than once. And the other thing that is actually quite important, the trial we've done is that they like eating the pill and they only need to eat it once. And so, and then that's, you know, yours is sterile. And so, but we don't kill them, it's humane. And the other thing that is important is that that pill has no effect on sheep or deer or humans. So it is environmentally friendly and selective. It only works on possums, mice, and rats. We know it works in mice and rats. We're testing it on possums at the moment, I should say.
Do you have recommendations for people or for scientists who have an idea of some sort of product they want to market and they want to take it to the level of making a business?
First of all, you need to find out whether there's a need for what you're trying to commercialize. right? Because sometimes as scientists, we think that what we're doing is amazing, it's fantastic, everything is brilliant, this is just the best thing ever since, the best thing since sliced bread, this is just amazing. But then when you start to look at that and thinking, well, is there a need for that? B, is your solution actually workable? Because sometimes what you're proposing is just going to be completely unapplicable. But also, again, be realistic of the point, right? Some people think that they hack them up with something and they're going to make billions of dollars out of any idea they have. And the reality is not going to happen. But you need to make sure that there's a need and make sure that you have a good solution. You need to talk to the people from the commercialization office. And here at UC, we're actually really lucky because the people from the commercialization office are really good. They are brilliant. And then after that, it will take a lot of work and it will take a lot of time to go on. You're going to have to spend lots of time talking to companies, talking to patent attorneys. Your is your science. You will know it better than anyone else. And so you're going to spend a lot of time working with this. Yeah, it's going to be frustrating. You're going to cry. You're going to get exasperated. You're going to get hopeful. And then it's going to be over. It's like a roller coaster. But it is, it's what makes it fun, right? Like, who wants a boring life?
What's the most fun or exciting part of your job?
When someone understands something they don't understand before, or when they realize there's something new and they get excited about it. And that's why I think we're here, to try to kind of disseminate knowledge, but at the same time, make sure people get excited about it and they understand it. And so I think that's, from my perspective, the most important part of my job. And the most fun part of my job. And we're very keen to keep building links with the community, particularly for the Canterbury region. You know, literally we are their university. And so, you know, we are always prepared to kind of host students, to host primary schools, secondary schools, high schools. And we would like to have the opportunity to host people here or for us to go to the schools. And that's something that, you know, we were quite happy to go and do presentations and experiments in front of the kids and bring up demos for them to come and experiment and experience science.
Yeah, that outreach is really important for, you know, especially younger students to see who these people are. I think more and more scientists are realizing that that's the point at which people get so interested and so excited about science, and actually showing, you know, what we do as scientists is so important.
And you're absolutely right. And this is the other thing is that not all scientists wear lab coats, right? I mean, you don't have to be a slightly old man, or you have to be an old man with white hair, with crazy white hair and crazy glasses to be a scientist. We have some scientists that are professional rowers. We have scientists who are doing everything. The scientists that can also build things on the side. There's scientists that come from all kinds of different backgrounds. You know, just because no one in your family has been a scientist doesn't mean you cannot be a scientist. And yeah, I think we were all scientists as kids. You were always curious. You always wanted to learn why these things happen. And I think this is something as a scientist, you never stop asking that. It's like, is this childlike curiosity to figure out how things work and how do you make them better?
So my last question is, could you say in one sentence why your work is so important?
Because my work helps train the next generation of scientists.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Absolutely. No worries.
That's it for today. For more information or to ask a question about any of the ideas raised in this show, feel free to send UC Science a message by email, Facebook, or Instagram. Thanks for listening.